My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's spin around the NFL. Let's look at some of the other big games of the weekend. Spending a lot of time, as you'd imagine, on Washington and Baltimore, both because it's local and it's the best game of the weekend. Some of the other notables, Caleb Williams played a lot better last week. He'll try to make it 2 in a row for the Bears, Danny. They're trying to get the 4-2 at Soldier Field when they play the Jacksonville Jaguars. They fended off the dogs this past week, finally with a win over the Indianapolis Colts to get to 1-4, but there's still some barking outside the front door for Doug Peterson.
Yeah, everybody's over 500 in the NFC North, so it's better than, I don't want to say better than we thought. We thought it'd be a pretty competitive division, and it's, I guess it's playing out that way. The surprise is that Minnesota's at 5-0, and you touched on it. Jacksonville's trying to have a season. It's trying to keep it on the rails so that you can stay relevant. As Houston now has a 2.5 or 3-game lead, depending on who you're talking about, over everyone else in that stupid AFC South. But yeah, the Wolves are at the door.
Let's go to Green Bay. Lambeau Field, best place to watch a game in the National Football League. Packers at home hosting the Cardinals. I just don't like Arizona as much coming cross-country toward the East Coast. Has not been kind to them in the 1 o'clock window over the last couple of seasons. Green Bay 3-2, chance to get to 4-2. If that's what happens, they'll have won 4 of their last 5, with the lone loss being that 2-pointer to the Vikings when they actually fell behind 28-7 and then came all the way back in that game. Will be back-to-back wins with Jordan Love going into the Texans and Jaguars over the next couple of weeks. Feels like a pretty big game for Green Bay to try to keep up with Minnesota. I mean, the Vikings do have a bye this week, so the Packers could pull to within a half game or so with the Vikings.
Yeah, very winnable game for Green Bay at home. Surprised there wasn't more love after Arizona did what they did this past week to San Francisco. That was one of the more impressive wins, I would say, of the week. They're 5.5-point dogs going on the road, but I think it speaks to your point that, you know, I don't think the odds makers love them going back across country playing at 1 p.m. against a Green Bay team that's very sound. We haven't seen the full holy crap Jordan Love MVP candidate thing that a lot of us thought was coming. Now, I know he's been derailed by that injury there in week one, and it hasn't really clicked just yet. There were some drops this past week from his receivers, but Green Bay is just very solid all around. Very well-coached team. I expect them to get a W this weekend.
Texans, Patriots in New England. Happy Drake May Day to Patriots fans. He is making his first NFL start in Foxborough. 4-1 Houston against 1-4 New England. The Patriots were worried about Drake May behind their offensive line, which has given up the worst pressure percentage in the league. So they waited until they played the team that gets the most pressure in the NFL, Houston, to debut him. Nothing they've done makes a whole lot of sense, but at some point, the kid's got to play football.
Yeah, Houston, by the way, is 4-1, and they're good. This is not me criticizing Houston. They haven't played that great yet, it feels like, right? C.J. Stroud
scary,
is, yeah, C.J. Stroud's a baller, and that's kind of my point here, is you know they're going to get going, and what does that look like? I mean, they're already 4-1 again with a couple impressive wins in there, one terrible loss at Minnesota, but they sort of eked by Chicago, eked by Jacksonville, played a competitive game against Buffalo where either team could have won. So this is a chance for them to kind of start to flex a little bit and get right. Now, this stuff like this always happens, right? Where on paper it looks like they're going to go dominate because, as you said, it should be a feeding frenzy. And then for some reason, maybe it's not. And we're trying to left to pick up the pieces. But on paper, it's a game Houston should go in and dominate.
Drake May's not the only rookie quarterback making his first start this weekend. In New Orleans at the Superdome, the Bucs are paying the Saints a visit. And Spencer Rattler will be filling in for Derek Carr, who's going to miss not one but two games because they play again on Thursday night against the Chargers. So he will miss both of those games, means at least two starts for Rattler. The Bucs with a really good chance to get to 4-2 and keep up with Atlanta in the NFC South.
So this is what I thought New Orleans was going to be. Not without Derek Carr. I've had no idea he'd be hurt. But before the season, I said, I think Dennis Allen gets fired. They're not real good to me. I don't get what their plan is. I don't know what they're doing. Well, then they scored 45 and a half a game through 2 weeks, and idiots like me were forced to eat their words. Now they've sunk back down. It's kind of a, you know, they're sliding down the mountain a little bit, looking for a handhold. Tough matchup for them with the Tampa Bay team that's pretty decent.
Three straight losses. They've scored 12, 24, and 13, so twice sub 15 during a three-game losing streak to the Eagles, Falcons, and Kansas City Chiefs now. Speaking of the Saints, let's keep it moving. Sunday matchups in the NFL on Grant and Danny. The Browns are 1-4. We just saw them here in Landover. They are a disaster, and that offense is gross. They get the Philadelphia Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field. Browns are 1-4. Philly is 2-2. Feels like a nice little get-right opportunity for the Eagles. They're off of a bye, yep, taking on Deshaun Watson. Remember, Philly was very interested in Deshaun Watson if you go back in time. They wanted him badly. They dodged a real bullet there. It's been an inconsistent season for the Eagles. Win-loss, bye. They come out of the bye. I think they win big.
I do, too. 9.5-point spread in that one at Philadelphia.
Also, A.J. Brown's back. I think Devontae Smith is back.
I was going to say, I hadn't seen an injury report just yet, finally, for Friday.
They both practiced yesterday.
So there you go. I would expect Philadelphia maybe has a chance here. Looking at their schedule, they survived. They didn't perform particularly well by their standard, but they've got a pretty easy schedule coming up. It starts this week against Cleveland. We could look up in a few weeks, and they could be 7-4, 8-3, something like that. So this is where I think it begins.
AFC South matchup, Colts-Titans. Anthony Richardson is getting healthier. There's some thought that he could be back very soon for the Colts. They're in a weird situation because I think you got to play Richardson ASAP and for the duration of the year, and you're trying to figure out what he is. But I also don't think there's any debate that they're better offensively with Joe Flacco on the field right now because Richardson's been a bit of a mess. He's inaccurate. He just misses too many throws. But he's also got all the talent in the world, and they drafted him in the top five. So it's kind of a strange situation. They're 2-3. They're playing the 1-3 Titans, who look like they're ticketed for the top of the draft board.
Yeah, Titans have not been frisky like I predicted they would be. For the Colts, you mentioned it's an interesting spot. I still think their team, talent-wise, is pretty good. But you drafted a project. And would you be surprised that a project showed up? Now, what's derailed this thing is Richardson's been hurt a bunch, and maybe you'd argue that's inevitable with his playing style. But someone who's that big, that fast, that strong, with that kind of arm strength, you got to be patient here. Someone that demanded patience, but maybe you don't have any because you're competitive in a bad division.
Chargers off a bye against the Broncos. Now, this is a 4 o'clock window game on Sunday, so you get to watch this one after Commanders-Ravens. Denver's getting better performances out of Bo Nix here. They hung 34 on the Raiders. He looked really good last week. You can see he's feeling himself a little bit. He's shouting at Sean Payton on the sideline. They're giving each other the back and forth and the what for. They beat the Bucs 26-7. Then they got a one-point win over the Jets in a gross weather game. Then they handled the Raiders 34-18. So that's three in a row for Denver. And again, they get Spencer Rattler on a short week Thursday night football after the Chargers. Now, the Chargers are off a bye, but if they can somehow beat LA this weekend, they could be looking at a potential five-game winning streak and a 5-3 record.
Fun little thing I was looking up when thinking about some topics for the show and a bit of discussion. I happened to go down a little rabbit hole and start clicking on Denver, some things, some stats, talking about Bo Nix and the like. You don't know who's a linebacker's assistant coach for them. You don't know. Greg Minuski. Old Greg Minuski found old a landing friend. Spot in charge of just a specific group of linebackers. Not all the linebackers. Just a couple of guys, really. Inside guys, I'll be able to coach you. But for Denver, they're doing kind of what they did last year. Remember, they got off to that terrible start, including losing to Washington, and they looked unprofessional and awful. All of a sudden, here they go. They're 3-2. They won three straight games. You mentioned one of them is incredibly gross, that win against the Jets. But they've got a chance now with the Chargers. You mentioned the Saints on short rest. Carolina, we could look up with Denver having a pretty decent record here through the midway point of the season.
Steelers, Raiders in Vegas. Pittsburgh is 3-2. The Raiders are 2-3, and the Raiders have made a quarterback change. It's AOEC time. Aiden O'Connell starting over Gardner Minshew. For the Steelers, perhaps one last ride for Justin Fields. They've lost two straight. Mike Tomlin was asked last week, how does Fields keep his job with now Russell Wilson finally back practicing in full? And he said, win? Well, I guess that means they got to find a way to pull this one out against the Raiders. If they are 3-3 with three straight losses, I think there's a possibility Russell Wilson starts a primetime game against the Jets on Sunday night next week.
Yeah, the Raiders aren't very good. I think that's pretty clear. The Steelers are odd because one of their groups, that defense, is awesome. It travels. Yeah. When T.J. Watt plays, they are disruptive and tough to deal with, and he's presumably playing. He's good to go. So the Steelers' offense is terrible. It's about doing just enough. So whoever can give you just enough, that's the guy you end up playing. But it's a strange-looking group here for this modern NFL.
The other two games on Sunday afternoon, the Falcons are at the Panthers. This is a very strange 4 o'clock game, by the way, in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that at all. Maybe they moved it after the weather in Carolina or something.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either. But Atlanta's 3-2. They got to handle their business, get to 4-2 against the Panthers, coming off of a huge overtime win against the Bucks. And then you've got the Lions and the Cowboys at 4:25.
That's a great one.
That's your nationally televised Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady game, I'd imagine. If Dallas can win, they're 4-2, but you got to like the Lions to get to 4-1, probably on paper.
Coming off their bye as well. So, that's a group that's got one weird, strange loss at Tampa where they outgained them by a whole bunch, still find a way to lose the game. But people kind of forgot about Detroit, how good they are. I think you saw some of that this past week when they played Seattle. But I think that's a game where Dallas kind of needs it to get some good vibes going, and I think Detroit shellacks them.